Chapter 4. I inhaled slowly and evenly in the darkness. Tension built in my muscles.
Now,
came the order. Spinning around, I threw the blade, and a soft thud answered a heartbeat later. Eager to see exactly where the blade had landed, I started to reach for the blindfold when I felt the cold press of steel under my throat. I froze.
Now what?
Came the low voice. I cry and beg for my life? I suggested. A quiet laugh answered.
That would only work if someone wasn't intent on killing you.
Shame, I murmured. Then I moved, grabbing the wrist of the hand that held the blade. I twisted the arm away from me as I stepped in. A sharp gasp brought a savage smile to my lips. I pressed my fingers into the tendons right in that spot. The entire arm spasmed as the fingers opened on reflex, and the hilt of the short sword dropped into my hand. I dipped low and kicked out, planting my booted foot into a leg. A heavy body hit the floor with a grunt. I leveled the sword on the prone body as I reached up and tugged the blindfold down. Was that a sufficient response? Sir Braylon Holland was sprawled across the stone floor of the West Tower.
Quite.
I smirked, tossing the thick braid of hair over my shoulder. Groaning under his breath, Sir Holland rolled to his feet. Born at least 2 decades before me, he appeared much younger since there wasn't a single crease in his deep brown skin. I'd once heard him tell one of his guards who'd asked if he'd summoned a god in exchange for everlasting youth that his secret was to drink a fifth of whiskey each night. Pretty sure he'd be dead if he drank that much.
But your aim is lacking, he said, dusting off his black breeches.
Absent of the obnoxious gold and plum uniform of the Royal Guard, he looked like any other guard. I'd never seen him in the finery.
And in need of much improvement.
Frowning, I turned to where the dummy was propped against the wall. The sad thing had seen better days. Cotton and straw leaked from numerous stab wounds. Its linen shirt had been replaced many times over the years. I'd stolen this one from Tavius's room, and it hung in shreds from wooden shoulders. The burlap head, stuffed with more straw and rags, flopped sadly to one side. Sunlight streamed in from the narrow window, glinting off the handle of the iron dagger protruding from the dummy's chest. How is my aim off? I demanded, wiping a hand across my sweat-slick brow. The summer, it was steadily becoming unbearable. Last week, an elderly couple had been found in their tiny apartment in Crofts Cross, dead from heatstroke. They weren't the first, and I feared they wouldn't be the last. You said to aim for the chest. I hit the chest.
I told you to aim for the heart. Are hearts typically on the right side of the body, Sarah?
My lips pursed. Do we really think someone would survive taking a blade to either side of the chest? Because I can tell you that no, they would not. The look he shot me could only be described as unimpressed as he took the sword from my hand and started for the dummy. It was a look I was unfortunately quite accustomed to. He gripped the dagger and pulled it free.
They wouldn't recover from such a wound, but it wouldn't be a quick death or an honorable one. And it would bring dishonor to you.
Why should I care about giving an honorable death to someone who just tried to kill me? I asked, thinking that was an incredibly valid question.
Several reasons, Sarah. Do I need to list them for you?
No.
Too bad. I like hearing myself list things, he replied, and I groaned. You, my dear, live a dangerous life.
Not by choice, I muttered under my breath. One eyebrow rose sardonically.
You are not protected like Princess Esmeria, he stated as he crossed to the wall opposite the small window where numerous weapons were stored.
He placed the sword next to heavier, longer ones.
No royal guards are assigned to watch over your chambers or keep an eye on you as you run wild throughout the capital.
I do not run wild throughout the capital. The look he sent me this time said that he knew better.
Many of the people may not realize who you are.
He went on as if I hadn't spoken.
But that doesn't mean there aren't some out there who have heard rumors of your existence and have figured out that you are no handmaiden but carry the Mirel blood in your veins.
He continued. All it takes is for one of them to tell someone who thinks they can use you as a means to achieve what they want. My jaw clenched. There had been two in the past 3 years that had somehow learned that I was, in fact, a princess and attempted to kidnap me. That hadn't worked out well for them, but their blood wasn't on my hands. It was on Tavius's, who I strongly believed had been behind the rumor.
Not only that, it's only a matter of time before the Vodina Isle's crown learns of their lords. They will attempt a siege.
He faced me.
You will just be another body they cut through to get to the crown.
I was already just another body around here, one that was mostly ignored, but whatever.
And then there is the heir,
Sir Holland stated flatly,
who is still extremely angry over what happened in the stables last week.
Yeah, well, I'm still upset with him for whipping that horse because of his foolishness and lack of skill, I retorted. Every time I see him, I want to punch him again.
Well, his behavior towards that animal was abominable, blackening the heir of Lasania's eye and then threatening to use the whip in the same manner as he did was not the wisest choice.
But it was the most satisfactory, I said, grinning. He ignored that.
The prince should have already ascended the throne by now. If it weren't for Princess Kaylee becoming ill and having to return to Ireland, he likely would have.
He looked over his shoulder at me, his hickory-hued eyes boring into mine as I quickly wiped the grin from my face.
Something I'm sure you had nothing to do with.
Princess Kaylee is very ill and had to return home to be cared for.
Tavius could have chosen another as his bride.
However, he's too lazy to ascend the throne and have, you know, responsibilities beyond being a drunken, lecherous pig. So he's going to delay marriage for as long as possible.
And I suppose Princess Kaylee's sickness had nothing to do with the potion you acquired that made her skin pale and her stomach unsteady?
I kept my face perfectly blank. I have no idea what you speak of.
You're a terrible liar.
Lies. A shadowy voice echoed in my thoughts. I desperately ignored it, like I had for the last 2 weeks since the night I stood in the study of the townhome. How do you even know about that?
I know more than you think I do, Sarah.
My stomach tumbled a bit. Was he talking about when I actually did run a bit wild through the capital? Namely at the Lux? Gods, I hoped not. Sir Holland wasn't exactly a fatherly figure, but still the idea of him knowing about the time I spent there made me want to vomit a little. I couldn't even consider that, so I pushed it from my thoughts. I can handle Tavius.
Barely,
he replied, and I stiffened.
And only because you're faster than he is. One day he'll get lucky. You won't be fast enough.
Sir Holland's features softened.
I don't bring this up to be cruel, but until you're gone from here, he's a threat.
I knew he wasn't being cruel. Sir Holland was never that. He was just stating a fact. But there was only one way I would ever leave Lasania, and that would be when I died. I sighed heavily. What does any of that have to do with an honorable or quick death?
Well, besides the fact that a dying mortal can still wield a weapon,
An enemy is rarely one by choice, he told me. They usually become such due to other people's choices, or they become enemies because of situations they had little control over. I would think you, of all people, would be more empathetic to that. I knew he wasn't talking about the Vodina Isles lords, but those who became desperate due to situations so out of their control, they found themselves doing things they'd never consider. Mortals who became someone else's nightmare because it was the only way they could survive. Shame scalded the back of my neck as I shifted uncomfortably on my feet. Sir Holland's gaze flickered over my face.
What is going on with you, Sarah? You've been off the last couple of days. What's wrong?
What's wrong? I trailed off. There were many things wrong, starting with why Sir Holland still met with me daily to train. It wasn't just to keep me prepared in case I needed to defend myself, or if the Queen decided my skill could be used to deliver a personal blow. Sir Holland behaved as if I were still integral to the survival of Lasania, that the Primal of Death would come for me. I still didn't have the heart to tell him what the Primal had said to me. I thought he needed to believe there was hope, because nothing had stopped the rot from spreading. The only way we knew to do that was to kill the Primal. And the rot was getting worse. There had been a few showers in the last month, but nothing of substance. Before that, the storms had brought chunks of ice, crushing and shearing vegetation as it slammed to the ground. People were concerned the cornfields would yield only half what they did last season. How much longer could Lasania continue on like this? It was the cousin siblings that had been murdered, that small babe, and the lack of answers surrounding why they had been killed. I had gone back to their neighborhood the following day to ask around about the Kazin family. I'd learned that their parents had passed a year before. No one had anything bad to say about them or the siblings. Galen had been described as comely and shy, someone who was often seen strolling the nearby gardens early in the mornings with her babe, and no one had been sure who the child's father was. But it was believed to be some ne'er-do-well who'd abandoned her after discovering that she was pregnant. Magus was said to be a flirt, but loyal and friendly. Come to find out, he had been a guard for Carcedonia, not as high-ranking as a royal guard or royal knight, but a defender of the city. I wondered if I'd seen him before, if I passed him in the halls of Wayfair. He was one of thousands. A name with no face. It was also the knowledge that four other mortals had also been killed.
I'll be watching.
An icy shiver danced across the nape of my neck. It was also him, the god whose name I didn't know. It had taken a good week for me to fully accept that I had, in fact, threatened a god.
And kissed one.
Had enjoyed being kissed by him, but what I couldn't figure out was the lingering memory of rightness when I'd been around him, a feeling that still made no sense, but I couldn't help but wonder if he watched as I moved about the streets of Carcedonia, and some incredibly idiotic, reckless, and disturbed part of me anticipated crossing paths with him again. I wanted to know why he'd kissed me. There had been other ways to hide and disguise ourselves, like moving farther away from the other gods, for starters. My focus shifted to the closed door. I don't know. I'm just in a weird mood. Sir Holland approached, handing the dagger to me.
You sure that's all?
I nodded.
I don't believe you.
Sir Holland...
I don't,
he insisted.
Do you know why we still practice every day?
My grip tightened on the dagger as everything I wanted to say started to bubble up in me. Honest? I don't know why we do this. His brows flew up.
That was a rhetorical question, Sarah.
Well, it shouldn't be, I shot back. What is the point? Shock splashed across his face.
The point? The lives
of everyone in Lasagna depend on me ending the rot, I interrupted. I know that. I've lived that since birth, and it's all I can think about every time I see the rot spreading through farm after farm. Every day that it doesn't rain, and the sun continues scorching crops, and every time I think about what winter might bring, I think of all those lives. I inhaled sharply, but didn't hold it, as he'd taught me. There was no space for air. I think about it every time someone takes one of our ships, or there are rumors of another siege. All I think about when I'm trying to sleep or eat or am doing anything is how I was the maiden and found unworthy by the primal of death.
You are not unworthy. You're not a curse or anything like that. You carry the ember of life in you. You carry hope within you. You carry the possibility of a future, he said. You don't know what the primal of death thinks.
How could he not think that? I shot back. Sir Holland shook his head.
What is happening with the rot is not your fault.
I almost laughed at the absurdity. Some people believed the primals were angry, and the rot was a sign of their wrath. That had led to the temples filling with worshippers and blame being cast on everything from failed marriages to false icons. They were close to the truth without realizing that others believed the fault should be placed on the crown, that nothing had been done to plan for worsening weather and soil. And they, too, were correct. The crown had placed all their eggs in one basket, and that basket had been me. Now the crown had begun stockpiling goods that could be dried or canned, and had decreed that hardier crops be planted. They'd attempted to establish alliances, and while none had ended as poorly as the one with the Vodina Isles had, no other kingdom wanted to be saddled with one that couldn't feed its residents. I could count on one hand how many people knew that Lasagna was doomed. The agreement King Roderick had struck had come with a time limit. I hadn't only been promised to a primal. My birth was a sign that the deal had run its course. And even if the primal of death had taken me, Lasagna would continue on its path to destruction. I ran a finger across the blade. A god could be killed if their brain or heart were destroyed by Shadowstone, and paralyzed by it if the blade were left in their body. But a primal was different. Destroying their heart and or brain would only injure them, not kill them. It would weaken them, but not enough to make them truly vulnerable to Shadowstone. But they could be killed. By love. Make him fall in love, become his weakness, and end him. That was what I'd spent my entire life preparing to do. I had become skilled with the dagger, sword, and bow, and I could protect myself if it came to hand-to-hand combat. I'd been instructed in how to behave in a manner believed to be appealing to the primal once he claimed me. And the mistresses of the jade had taught me that the most dangerous weapon wasn't a violent one. I'd been ready to make him fall in love with me, to become his weakness, and then kill him. It was the only way to save Lasagna. Any deal made between a god or primal and a mortal ended in the favor of whoever had been granted the boon upon the death of the god or primal who answered the summons. In our case, it meant that all the things that had happened to restore Lasagna 200 years ago would return and remain until the end of time. That was the piece of information my family had discovered in the years it had taken for me to be born. but he hadn't claimed me. So that knowledge had proven useless so far. Somehow, I had messed up. He'd looked at me, and maybe he saw what was in me, what I tried to hide. I thought about what my old nursemaid, Odetta, had told me when I asked her if she thought my mother was proud to have a maiden as a daughter. She had gripped my chin with gnarled, cold fingers and said, "Child, the fates know you were touched by life and death, creating something that should not be. How could she be anything but afraid?" I shouldn't have even asked that question, but I was a child, and I had just wanted to know whether my mother was proud. And Odetta had been the wrong person to ask. Gods love her, but she was as blunt as the back of a knife, and cranky. Always had been. But she had never treated me differently than she had anyone else. What she'd said really hadn't made much sense then. But I sometimes wondered if she had been talking about my gift. Had the primal of death somehow sensed that? Did it even matter now? I'd failed. How could it not be my fault? I demanded, and then twisted toward the dummy before throwing the dagger. The blade struck its chest right where the heart would be located. Sir Holland stared at the dummy.
"See? You know where the heart is. Why didn't you do that before?"
I twisted toward him. I had a blindfold on before.
"So?"
"So?" I repeated. "Why am I even practicing with a blindfold? Does someone expect me to go blind sometime soon?"
"I would hope not," he replied dryly. "The exercise helps you hone your other senses. You know that. And you know what else you should know? Whatever it is, I'm sure you're going to tell me."
I angrily tossed the braid back over my shoulder. "It's not your fault," he repeated. A knot formed in the back of my throat at his tone. It was the same gentleness he'd used when I was 7, crying until my head ached because I'd been forced to remain behind while everyone else left for the country estate. The same compassion he'd shown when I'd been 11 and sprained my ankle after landing on it wrong. And when I was 15 and nearly gutted, when I hadn't deflected his attack in time. The kindness had been there when I was first sent to the Mistresses of the Jade in the months before my 17th birthday and didn't want to go. Sir Holland and my stepsister Ezra were the only two people who treated me as if I were an actual person and not a cure, a fix that didn't work. I forced air around the burning knot. "Yeah, well. Someone needs to tell the Queen that."
"Your mother is..."
Sir Holland shoved a hand over his closely cropped hair.
"She is a hard woman. She and I don't agree on a lot of things when it comes to you. I think you know that. But history is repeating itself, and she is watching her people suffer."
"Then maybe she should summon a god and ask for the suffering to stop," I suggested.
"You don't mean that."
I opened my mouth, but then sighed. Of course I didn't. It wasn't often that any were desperate or foolish enough to find their way to one of the temples. But it did happen. I'd heard the stories. Orlano, a cook in the castle, had once spoken about a childhood neighbor of his who had called upon a god, desiring the hand of the daughter of a landowner who'd refused to entertain his offer of marriage. The god had granted exactly what he'd asked for. The hand of the landowner's daughter. My stomach churned as I walked over to the dummy. What kind of god would do that? What kind would kill a babe?
"Do you think you're unworthy?"
Sir Holland asked quietly. Shaken by the question, I stared ahead, but saw none of the burlap sack. The Primal of Death had asked for a consort in return for granting Roderick's request. He came and left without me, without what he asked for, and he hasn't come back since. I looked at him. So, what do you think?
Maybe he thought you weren't ready.
Ready for what? How exactly could he determine if a consort was ready? He shook his head.
Maybe he wanted you to be older. Not everyone believes someone is mature enough or ready enough to marry at 17 or 18.
Or 19, 20. Everyone is pretty much married or on their way to being married by 19, I stated.
Tavius isn't married. Neither is Princess Esmeria or me,
he pointed out. Tavius isn't married because Princess Kaylee got sick, and he's too lazy to ascend the throne and have, you know, responsibilities beyond being a drunken, lecherous pig. So, he's going to delay marriage for as long as possible. And Ezra has other plans. You, I frowned. Why aren't you married? Sir Holland shrugged.
Just haven't felt like doing it.
He watched me for a moment.
I think he will come for you, he said. That's why I still train with you. I haven't given up hope, Princess.
I barked out a laugh. Don't call me that.
Call you what?
Princess, I muttered. I'm not a princess.
Really?
Crossing his arms, he returned to his normal stance when he wasn't either attempting to knock me on my ass or wound me with all kinds of sharp, stabby things.
Then what are you?
What am I? I looked down at my hands. That was a good question. I may be a royal by blood, but I had only been recognized as such 3 times in my life.
I certainly wasn't treated as one.
My whole life had been focused on me becoming an assassin.
A warrior,
he corrected. Bait? His expression was as bland as the leftover bread I'd managed to grab that morning from the kitchen.
You are not bait. You are a trap.
And maybe I had become nothing more than a flesh and blood weapon. What else could I be? What layers exist under that? I wondered as I toyed with the blindfold dangling around my throat. There was no time for hobbies or entertainment. No skill set developed beyond handling a dagger or a bow and how to live with grace. I considered no one a close confidant. Not even Ezra or Sir Holland. Growing up, I'd only been allowed a nursemaid, not even a lady's maid, out of fear they would have some sort of terrible influence on me. Not that I needed a companion at all times, but the company would have been nice. All that I had that didn't involve this was my lake, and I wasn't sure if that really counted for anything, since it was, well, a lake. I blew out an aggravated breath. I didn't like to think about this, any of this. I didn't like to think at all, to be honest, because when I did, it made me feel like I was a real person. And when I couldn't stop the thoughts from coming, I dwelled on that small seedling of relief I'd felt when the primal had rejected me. Then I drowned in that shame and selfishness. Those times I made use of the sleeping draughts the healers had brewed for my mother. Once, while Sir Holland had been dealing with something related to the royal guard, and Ezra had been in the country visiting a friend, I'd slept for nearly 2 days. No one had even checked on me, and when I awakened, I had stared at the vial, thinking it would be all too easy to drink it all. My palms became clammy like they did any time I thought about that, and I wiped them on my thighs. I didn't like to think about that day either, about how that vial had become a different type of ghost than the other ones that haunted the Dark Elms, refusing to enter the Shadowlands.
Come,
Sir Holland said, pulling me from my thoughts.
Put the blindfold back on and continue until you hit the target.
Sighing, I reached for the cloth and tugged it back up. Sir Holland retied the binding so it stayed in place. I allowed my world to turn dark, because what else did I have to do? Where did I have to be? He turned me to the dummy, and then I sensed him step back. As I firmed my grip, I thought about what he'd said. A warrior. He could be right, but I was also one more thing. A martyr. Because whether the primal came for me, regardless of if I succeeded, if he did, the end result would be the same. I wouldn't survive. Feeling a dull headache coming on, I entered the narrow stairwell after finishing with Sir Holland. Sunlight struggled to penetrate the darkness as I navigated the sometimes slippery steps to the floor below. Crossing to Wayfair's east wing, that hall was far dimmer. I walked to the last little room at the end of the quiet hall. The door was ajar, and I pressed it open. Candlelight flickered from a table by the narrow bed, casting a soft glow across the small form on the mattress. I tiptoed into the room and made my way to the stool beside the bed. I winced as the wood creaked under my weight. But the form on the bed didn't stir. Odetta had been sleeping a lot lately, each time seeming to slip deeper and deeper. She had already been aging when I came into this world. And now her time was coming to a close. Sooner rather than later, she would leave this realm and pass into the Shadowlands, where she would spend eternity in the Vale. A different kind of heaviness settled into me as my gaze touched the silvery strands of hair, still so incredibly thick, and then moved to the bent, spotted hands resting atop a blanket that would have been too thick for anyone else, given the warm breeze entering the window and stirring the blades of the ceiling fan. I fixed the edge of the blanket at her side. When Odetta learned that the primal hadn't taken me, she had looked at me with rheumy eyes and said,
"Death wants nothing to do with life. None of you should be surprised."
I hadn't exactly understood what she'd meant then. I hardly ever did, but her response hadn't come as a shock. Odetta had never coddled me. She'd never been particularly loving either, but she was more of a mother than the one I had, and soon she would be gone. Even now, she was so still, too still. My breath caught as I stared at her frail chest. I couldn't detect any movement. My heart hammered. Her skin was pale, but I didn't think it had taken on that waxy sheen of death. "Odetta?" My voice sounded rough to my ears. There was no response. I rose, speaking her name once more as panic blossomed in my chest. Had she passed? I'm not ready. I reached for her hand, stopping before my skin touched hers. I sucked in a shuddering breath. I wasn't ready for her to be gone. Not tonight. Not tomorrow. Heat rushed to my hands as my fingers hovered inches above hers.
"Don't," Odetta croaked. "Don't you dare."
My gaze flew to her face. Her eyes were open, just thin slits, but enough to see that the once vibrant blue had dulled. I wasn't doing anything.
"I may already have one foot in the Vale, but I haven't lost my mind."
Her breath was faint and shallow.
"Or my vision."
I glanced down at my hand, hovering so close to her skin. I jerked it to my chest, my heart still pounding. "I think you're seeing things, Odetta." A dry, crackled laugh parted her lips.
"Seraphina,"
she said, startling me. Only she ever used my full name.
Look at me.
Shoving my hands between my knees, I looked at her, never knowing a time when her face was free of the heavy lines of age. What?
Do not play coy with me, girl. I know what you were about,
she rasped. Denial rose, but she was having none of it.
What have I told you? All these years, have you forgotten? What have I told you?
She repeated. Feeling as if I were a small child perched on a stool, I shifted uncomfortably. To never do that again.
And what do you think would have happened if you'd done that? You were lucky when you were a child, girl. You won't get lucky again. You'd bring the wrath of the primal onto yourself.
I nodded. Even though I had gotten lucky more than once since I was a child and had picked up butters. Not once had my gift captured the attention of the primal of death, and I didn't know what I had been about to do. Shaken, I slid my hands from between my knees and looked at them. They looked normal now, just like everything about me did. I exhaled raggedly. I thought you were gone.
And I will be gone, Seraphina. Soon,
Odetta predicted, drawing my gaze once more to hers. Was it my imagination, or did she look even smaller under that blanket, thinner?
I have lived long enough. I'm ready.
I bit my lip as it started to tremble and nodded. Those eyes might be dull, but they still held the power to hold mine. I know, I said, clasping my hands and keeping them firmly in my lap. She eyed me through half-open lids.
Is there a reason you're in here, other than to disturb me?
I wanted to check on you, and that was true, but I did have another reason. A question, one that had been preying on my mind for a while. And I wanted to ask you something if you're up for it.
I'm not doing anything but lying here, waiting for you to leave, she groused.
I cracked a grin at that, but it quickly faded as my stomach started jumping and twisting. You said something a long time ago, and I wanted to know what you meant, what it meant. The breath I took was shallow. You said I was touched by death and life. What does that mean, to be touched by both? Odetta coughed out a raspy laugh.
After all these years, now you're going to ask?
I nodded.
There a reason you're asking now?
Not really, I shrugged. It's just something I've always wondered about.
And you thought you'd ask before I kicked the bucket?
I frowned. No! White, bushy brows crept up on her forehead. I sighed. Okay, maybe. Her laugh was dry and raspy, but her eyes brightened with a sharpness that erased much of the dullness.
I hate to disappoint you, child, but that's not a question I can answer. It's what the fates claimed upon your birth. Only the fates can tell you what that means.